The situation currently within hospitals is that all available resources are being redistributed to help those who are infected and need intensive care support. This is unprecedented. It's akin to a time of war. If you're of the mindset of, it doesn't matter if I get infected, I'm under the age of 70 and I have no health problems, please don't let your ignorance become one of the reasons why historians might look back at us in complete disbelief. Hello, and welcome to a special edition of A Doctor's View, an episode I was hoping not to have to publish. Let's begin. Hello everyone, and welcome to A Doctor's View. I'm Dr. Bolivios. I wasn't planning on publishing an episode on coronavirus, but given the current state of affairs, I wanted to say a few words in an unscheduled episode. Firstly, a warning. I wanted to say, please don't underestimate what is going on. We are currently involved in a pandemic, and I've heard a few things going around, including it's just like the flu. The flu kills more people each year. If I get it, it doesn't matter, I'll get over it. Yes, the flu has historically killed more people, but this isn't over. In fact, it looks like it's just getting started. Flu has a death rate of 0.1%. This means that for every 1,000 people who are infected with the flu, one will die. Coronavirus, or COVID-19, has a death rate closer to 4%. So for every 1,000 people who are infected with this, 40 will die. This, coupled with the fact that coronavirus seems to spread at a rate 3 times faster than the flu, is something that shouldn't be taken lightly at all. This is a novel virus, and unlike flu, human immune systems just haven't had to deal with this before and can't deal with it effectively at all. So please heed the official advice that seems to be unanimous across all official bodies, which is to avoid unnecessary travel and contact. I can't express this enough. There is a reason for this. As well as trying to limit the spread of this virus, one of those reasons is also to try and keep the number of infected cases at any given time at a level that hospitals can actually cope. And we're struggling already. The situation currently within hospitals is that all available resources are being redistributed to help those who are infected and need intensive care support. This is unprecedented. It's akin to a time of war. If you're of the mindset of, it doesn't matter if I get infected, I'm under the age of 70 and I have no health problems, please don't let your ignorance become one of the reasons why historians might look back at us in complete disbelief. Yes, coronavirus might not cause you to die. Your actions, however, might cause you to pass it on to someone who might. Please don't have the arrogance to think that your party at the weekend or meeting at the pub is more important or that you know better. Hospitals are in a situation that we haven't seen in generations. Please don't add to that burden. More people will die. More families will be devastated. I will also add that even if you are young, fit and well, you can still become very unwell. Worse than any flu-like symptoms that you've ever had in the past. And just because we haven't had any deaths of young, fit, well people, in the UK at least, yet, like I said, this is just getting started, and it wouldn't surprise me if we do start seeing this. My plea is simply this: please don't go out for no reason at all. Please don't be selfish in your food and supply purchases. Please understand that the majority of healthcare staff are working 12-hour shifts and more at the moment around the clock and haven't even had any time to buy any food or supplies, and the thought of walking into a supermarket to find nothing on the shelves after a night shift is not a pleasant thought. Also, if you do have symptoms, please ensure you self-isolate. Please follow the advice given to you by your respective government and health bodies. I know people all around the world listen to this podcast, and whilst I know advice may vary slightly from country to country, the message is still the same. The current NHS advice in the UK is if you have symptoms of coronavirus, you need to stay home for 7 days. If you live with someone who has symptoms, you need to stay home for 14 days from the day the first person in the home started having symptoms. Those symptoms are a high temperature. This means if you feel hot to touch on the chest or back, you don't need to measure your temperature. A new continuous cough, This means coughing for more than an hour or three or more coughing episodes in 24 hours. If you usually have a cough, it may be worse than normal. To help prevent the spread of coronavirus, regardless of whether you've got symptoms or not, there's a few things we can do, and these are all from the NHS website. Wash your hands with soap and water often. Do this for at least 20 seconds. Always wash your hands when you get home or go into work. Use hand sanitizer gel if soap and water aren't available, and cover your mouth and nose with a tissue or your sleeve if you're sneezing or coughing. Don't use your hands. Put used tissues in the bin immediately and wash your hands afterwards. Avoid close contact with people who have symptoms of coronavirus. Only travel on public transport if you need to. And this is, I can't stress how important this is. Work from home if you can. Avoid social activities such as going to pubs, restaurants, theatres and cinemas. I know I've recorded this probably a little while before it's to be released, and I'm hoping by this point this has actually happened and they've taken the initiative and closed pubs and restaurants already. But in case some are still open, please don't go to them. Avoid events with large groups of people. Use the phone or online services or apps to contact your GP, surgery or other NHS services, and please don't touch your eyes, nose or mouth if your hands are not clean. Don't have visitors in your own home, including family and friends. I know that sounds incredibly harsh and it sounds something that's very difficult to do, but I can't stress enough the importance of it. This advice is particularly important for people who are vulnerable or pregnant. If you have symptoms and are living with someone who is vulnerable, that is someone over the age of 70, has a long-term condition or a weakened immune system, try and arrange for them to stay with friends or family for 14 days. If you do have to stay with them, please try and keep 2 meters away from each other. Avoid using shared spaces such as kitchens or bathroom at the same time as each other. Open windows in shared spaces if you can. Clean a shared bathroom each time you use it. For example, wiping the surfaces that's been touched. Use a dishwasher if you have one, and if not, use washing up liquid. Wash your own plates, cutlery with warm water and dry everything thoroughly. And please don't share a bed if possible, and don't share towels, including hand towels and tea towels. If you think you do have symptoms, please seek the advice given by your local health authority. Here in the UK, there is the 111 coronavirus service, and I'll put links to that in the podcast description. I'll also put links to the NHS coronavirus page, which lists this advice and also more. If you're pregnant and worried about coronavirus, I will also add the link to the advice given by the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists, again in the podcast description. I titled this episode as a warning, a plea, and a thank you. Firstly, a personal and very humbling thank you. Over the last week or so, I've received phone calls and messages from friends, non-medics, who called to not only say thank you, but also to tell me that if I needed someone to talk to over the next few weeks after a difficult shift, or if there's anything they can do to help, to call them at any time. I can't express my gratitude to these people or what that means to me, and if they're listening, thank you. I also want to thank everyone involved in helping to put a little smile on healthcare workers' faces, in particular coffee shops like Costa, Starbucks, Nero, Pret a Manger and McDonald's, who are offering free hot drinks to NHS staff here in the UK. Such a gesture might not seem like much, but I promise it doesn't go unnoticed by healthcare workers, and I can't tell you how much it's appreciated. I also want to thank all the hospital workers, those who have organised what seems to be the impossible and created more bed spaces, those who have organised emergency rotas on such short notice, the consultants who are taking up extra roles to keep non-corona-related emergencies in the hospital running, all my anaesthetic and intensive care colleagues who are working round the clock and are doing incredible things to try and keep people alive. I want to thank all the doctors and nurses whose annual leave has been replaced with shifts in intensive care, and who not only haven't complained, but are doing what they can to help each other with regards to swapping shifts to help with childcare, bringing in coffee machines for everyone, creating makeshift places of rest with snacks brought from home. The nurses, who have been grossly understaffed for many years, they're heroes looking after the infected day and night, and they're being pushed their absolute limits. By now, it's public knowledge that masks and other protective gear for medical staff is in short supply or simply no longer available. And yet, I rarely hear people in the hospital question this with, "What if I get infected?" They question it with, "How am I going to protect my family if I'm not protected?" Such is the selflessness of these people. and they still go to work anyway. Hospitals are not made up of simply doctors and nurses. The team involved in looking after someone is huge. It's actually incomprehensible. From the secretaries who have to deal with so much to help keep things running and sending us constant updates, to the cleaning staff without whom the hospitals simply just fall apart. The bins, wards and floors, they don't magically clean and empty themselves. When you're asleep, these people are working. They are probably the most important part of infection prevention and can't be thanked enough. I also want to thank the medical students around the country who have offered to provide childcare services for the medics who are having to work extra shifts, and those in their final year of training who are being pushed outside of their comfort zones and are stepping up to help in the hospital. This pandemic has for sure brought out the worst in some people, but it most certainly has shown the world the compassion and kindness that humanity can have for each other. So I will end this episode, as I always do, with please look after yourself, but I'll also add, please look after those around you also. Thank you for listening. I will try and post as many updates as I can, and apologies if my usual schedule is interrupted. I'm Dr. Bolivios. Goodbye.